Say I'm mad as hell, I can't take anymore, whatever.
That's the more likely of the two scenarios, but, you know. Anyway. Yeah, Crystal, you have something?
Well, it's kind of about everything. For me, at least, I'm understanding and hearing all the different things that we could be and should be doing, and it sounds great, but I guess I work better if I have an idea of, like, just the schedule of when. Like, if I do direct mail, how often, again, do I have to budget again to be ready to do it another time?
We're going to do the comprehensive, all-inclusive marketing plan tomorrow, which will be all the way down to budgets, what they should look like, what the per-piece cost is, everything.
Where to get them sourced, how to...
Yeah.
But it's a good... If anybody's in that ballpark, right? If anybody is there right now, what?
We didn't hear the question.
What specifically should be done, when, in what order, how much does it cost, what the budgets are? We're going to go in-depth on that. Maybe just go back to the headline. I mean, our mission is, by the end of tomorrow night, is everybody has a plan with 6 to 8 weeks for back to school, 100 new students in the school. If it's multiples, we're talking about per location, right? So if you hit it and you do all those things, you should have everything you need for 100 students September 1st to October 15th, worst case, October 31st. So that's the plan, and we've got plenty of time to, and that's why this is set up this way, is to segment into groups and work together on the comprehensive marketing plan and then come back together and have it all the way down to budgets and items. And, I mean, everything from how much does a newspaper insert cost to what's an 8-page letter into the mail cost. I mean, we'll hit all of that in depth.
But if anybody else is in that same category where, you know, don't miss the strategy piece of it. Right? That's the most important part. Because all the little pieces of fundamental and the components, when we're talking about websites right now, there are a million people out there in the world who do these kind of things for not a lot of money, right? But you've got to be the smartest person in the room when they're trying to sell you stuff. You know what I'm trying to say? You've got to make sure that you direct their effort so that it produces the result that you want. Because there's all sorts of cool stuff that we can talk about and cool technology, and that's the problem with internet is it's cool, right? There's a lot of cool stuff you can do. Doesn't mean you should do, right? So that's the most important part, is to get the strategy down, and then, you know, you've got to be the smartest person in the room when it comes to strategy, right?
We're going to get that today and tomorrow.
We're doing all day today and website right now. So just in general, here you go. This is the online success formula, right? It's like as basic as it gets. It's traffic times... if I can get this to work, of course, now I can't. Traffic times conversions equals money, right? So don't miss how impactful that is. I know it's stupid and it's silly and it's easy and it's 100 years. It's as old as the internet is, right? It's as old as direct mail is, right? But don't get how simple that is. Keep everything that simple, right? I think Master Oliver kind of described it exactly right. It's an info call. Your lead generation website is just an info call. Don't let it get any more complicated than that. And I'm going to walk you through a retail scenario. But there are two objectives. One is traffic, but the second one is where the money is, right? The second one is conversions. The site isn't just a brochure. It's a sales mechanism. Does that make sense? You are controlling the sales cycle, right? So selling is selling is selling is selling. It doesn't matter if you're selling fractional jet ownerships to billionaires or if you're selling dog food to pet owners, right? Selling is selling is selling. There has to be a want, need, pain, or desire and a benefit that you're selling. This is all exactly the same thing. So the most important part is don't get lost on any of the strategy. You know what I'm saying? You can sit down with any web developer anywhere in the world or $3 an hour in India and have them build exactly what you want. I hope that's not the fire alarm. And have them build whatever it is that you want if you can direct them, right? And be able to articulate what it is exactly that you want. And I'm going to show you an example so that you don't have to guess. Is that useful? But it's traffic times conversions. Don't forget the conversions piece of it. That's the most important part, right? You can't just drive a lot of traffic to a brochure and wonder why people aren't calling, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about site design and functionality, and I've got a live site I can show you and some samples and things like that, and you can jot URLs down or whatever. I'm going to show you all non-live stuff just, you know, for demo purposes, so you don't have to worry about screwing anything up if you want to go look at them. But number one is your objectives are, like Master Oliver was describing, I'm just going to reiterate it so that you have clear bullet points on your list. The number one kind of challenge is driving traffic to the site. How am I going to get visitors there, right? And Master Oliver's example was pretty simple. It's either number one, I have good search engine placement, therefore when people do search, they find me. Number two is, and we can talk a little bit about that tomorrow. Number two is I go buy traffic, And number three is I drive it from offline. And we're going to go over all that, right? So number one challenge is how do I get people there? The second one is how do I convert? And again, that's what I want to spend our you know hour or so on right now. How do we get that traffic converted? How do we get them to number one objective is to call in, right? Why do you keep doing that?
Wait,
I'm here now.
Okay, sorry. That's right. But see, that makes sense, right? So again, all the statistics are telling us, in fact, in our own case, we know pretty dramatically, if we can get the inbound call to happen, that's the most important thing, right? And unfortunately, there are a lot of, in the internet market, again, I've studied with, you know, literally the three top producing internet marketers in the world, and they get off on this track too very frequently. Because they want their clients to see all the opt-ins so that the client thinks that they've done a good job on the website, right? Now, that's good, but we know we have a much higher percentage of converting them into students if they actually pick the phone up and call us. Does that make sense? So your number one objective is to get up and call us. The second objective is to create an opt-in, and we'll go over all that. And then again, Master Oliver went over this already, but the third kind of bullet point is... I don't know. Is it important or? I don't know. Good. The third objective is to convert them either into a trial or buy, right? Either they say, yes, I want to do lessons and here, sign me up. I want to come in, set my time up. Or second, some money exchanges hands, right? 6 weeks for $69, 2 weeks, whatever it is, right? And I'll show you some examples, okay? And the fourth component, and I'm going to show you some examples of this too, is any small business owner, you know, it feels like you're in the middle of the forest with all these trees around you, right? And it's hard to see the details. It's hard to see the data. It's hard to see the forest for the trees. Online, the great part about online is nothing is a mystery. Does that make sense? You can see as granular as you choose to see, as granularly as you choose to see, absolutely everything that's happening on the site, before they get to your site, what they do when they get there, how long they stay on, what browser they're using, what computer they've got. You can see everything, right? Now, some of that data is overload. But the great thing about this entire part of it is none of it's a mystery. You can know exactly how many people are searching for those terms. You know exactly what terms to buy. You understand what I'm saying? So just strategically, the cool thing about it is there is no guesswork involved, okay? But you've got to look at the numbers. It's just like your intro to enrollment conversion ratio. No one in this room should not know what that ratio is. There's no guesswork. How many slips do I have that came in for an intro? How many contracts? Divide. Right? It's not a mystery. It's not like black magic or science, right? So this is exactly the same thing online. The great thing is Google has done a lot of work for us to build analytics for us, right? So that we don't have to, you know, write code for 60 hours a day, right? So the next piece is this. Don't miss this. It's vitally, vitally, vitally important. I keep reiterating it, but the number one mission of the website is to generate and what? The lead.
Convert.
Exactly. Conversion is the deal. That our concept is conversion. Lead generation and lead conversion. Now, sometimes those leads are going to come from online sources. In the family market, got to be honest with you, we're much more effective if we drive the lead from offline sources. Does that make sense? Our conversion ratio is much better. But we'll get there. But everybody follow me on that, right? The site has two purposes. Lead generation, lead conversion. All other objectives, and I put secondary, but I should have put like bullshit or something like that, right? Something a little more colorful. All other objectives are secondary. Anything else that, you know, you've been convinced your site should be doing or whatever the case is, all of that is such a low priority in relative terms that it almost shouldn't even blip your radar. Right? Does that make sense? So again, you know, just don't get confused. Don't get misled. There's so many cool things that developers can do and people can do on sites. Unless it you know directly affects one of those two objectives, I really don't care. Okay. So our particular strategy, you know, Bob, I've got those gold sheets of paper. Why don't we hand those out to everybody? I forgot that I had those back there. Do you see those gold sheets of paper? If you want to hand them to me, I'll grab a couple of volunteers. This is like way simplistic, but it might be just useful just to. Yeah. Okay. So think about this just for a second while they're handing these papers out. If you had to build like a retail business, let's say you wanted to build a business like selling men's clothing or something like that, right? Yeah, go ahead and pass those down. It'll be easier. There may not be enough, just one per school or whatever, and you know, look over each other's shoulder. There's no magic in it. It's just designed to be simple as I could make it. Okay. Maybe a couple over there, but I think we're all right. Are you guys good? Allison, I think maybe on the table there, they might need a couple, so. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's take this offline so that it makes more sense and it doesn't, you know, feel too techie, right? If you were going to build, if you were going to build a men's clothing store, or you wanted to sell men's clothing, right? And you had this big store, this retail location. What would you want the customer experience, the buying experience to be for a customer, right? So 39-year-old professional attorney, junior partner in his law firm, walks through the front door, right? What do you want him to see? What do you want him to feel? What do you want him to hear? Just kind of think about that, right?
Class.
Well, sure. It's something that means exactly something for him, right? So you'd probably want some professional-looking, probably female, sales associate to walk over to them and be very nice and friendly and take him gently by the arm and walk him past all the other crap he's got to wade through in the store directly over to the suits, right? And then she would say, well, you look like you're a 38 long, so let's walk straight over to the 38 longs. Don't worry about the 42s and all that crap, right? And let's say it's summer, so we don't want to worry about the winter stuff. We're going to go to the summer stuff. And then, you see what I'm saying? That would be like the sort of the ideal customer experience. Someone would look and feel exactly like they expect that they should look and feel. The whole thing should look and feel that way. And then it takes them exactly to what they need, want, or desire. Eliminate all the other clutter, right? Show them exactly what's for them. Make sense? It's real simple, right? It's exactly the same thing as you want on the websites. You want as few distractions as possible, right? Now, there's unfortunately been, and zero distractions is my preference, right? Unfortunately, you know, with social media and things like that, you know, there's traffic to be had on social media. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with Facebook and Twitter and all that. But, you know, would you take that guy who is worth to you a $3,000 suit? Would you allow, under any circumstances, he walked in your front door, and while you were walking him over to the 38 longs, you showed him 72 other doorways that all went to like the theme park and nice restaurants, and right? That's like allowing people to like Facebook your thing on the homepage. See, now you're taking them from your site over to Facebook where it's like a carnival, you know? That's like the worst sales environment in the universe is Facebook, right? I mean, too many distractions, you know? So you really want to, Master Oliver calls it the grease chute. You want to control the customer sales experience. Does that make sense? You want to manage everything that they experience moving through that sales experience. Does that make sense? Okay, so you would greet them with something that immediately looks like them, right? That resonates with exactly what their expectations are. They want to be able to see themselves there. So again, Master Oliver described it earlier. You know, if I'm moving them into the family market, I'm certainly not going to show them, you know, kickboxing classes, and I'm not going to show them, you know, black belt kids sparring with each other. And, you know, I mean, that's all basic, but you get the idea. We want to make that impression immediately. We want to take them to exactly what they want. So again, we've walked that man over to the, you know, the 38 long summer collection that we believe is going to suit his needs, okay? So here's an example of what one of our sites looks like. And let me show you the live example. Well, no, this is good enough for now. It's good enough for now. And to be honest with you, I'm going to eliminate this part and maybe even that part. But there are as few distractions as humanly possible. Immediately when somebody lands on the site, they immediately identify with one of those, right? They say, oh, that's me, click, right? That's what we want to have happen. When they land on the landing page, we want them to immediately see what resonates with them. They self-select who they are and go that direction. Does that make sense? Very simple. It's not any more complicated than that. Now, there's an awful lot of stuff that we're doing on the site. I'll show you just as a generalized. Let me go back to here. as a generalized, for general purposes, there's an awful lot of stuff that we're doing kind of down here for keyword density, to have the keywords about that location repeated, you know, things like that, and it also has some contextually sensitive links, which are good for Google, and all that crap, right? So there's some stuff happening behind the scenes that's pretty useful, but keep in mind that the two primary focuses, points of focus, are I've got a call now thing, and I sort them out. Does that make sense? Before we go any farther, any thoughts on that, questions, or unclarity? Pretty simple, right? Okay, good. So the next step, let's see if I can remember which one PowerPoint is. Okay, so the next step from there, if you look at that little funnel visualization, that yellow sheet, if you see the whole thing is really, I did it deliberately, and it's very simple, deliberately, right? There are only two objectives if you look at the entire thing. Call or opt in, right? So very simply, you can see what's happening is I just want to divide the traffic up by market and then move that traffic through a sales funnel, right? You don't want it to get any more complicated than any of that, okay? So the initial squeeze page, Master Oliver used that word earlier, a squeeze page is basically a page that has enough content to get someone to want to give you their name, email, and mobile number, usually a free bribe of some type. I'll go through some of that stuff. I'll show you. But that's the functionality of a squeeze page, right? I want to collect the data. And again, we're using video and almost all that stuff now, and I'll show you a few different iterations of that, our past model versus the new model. I'll show you kind of what that looks like. The old model on freakwriter.com, we're always testing this stuff and tweaking and looking at the ratios and trying to improve. The old model was talking head, and I don't have a slide on here, but think through this process with me. Just strategically, I think it'll be important for you. Two iterations ago, we were just asking for name and email, right? And we had some nice sales copies, a compelling offer, some free bribes, you know, some free bonuses that they would get if they gave us their name and email. And the best conversion rate we could get is about a third. We could get about 33% of the traffic to opt in, give us their name and email, right? Now, we then, while we tracked the statistics across multiple locations, we found that the email wasn't really getting us a student conversion ratio that we wanted. So we needed a way to contact that customer. So we added the mobile number field, the phone number field, right? Well, obviously, if you're asking for more information, what happens? Less people fill it in, right? They're less certain, right? You haven't really built a relationship with that prospect yet. They don't know, like, and trust you yet. So they're less willing to give you more data, right? Really simple, right? So the ratio went down by, I don't know, 15 or 18%. Big problem, right? So then by sort of replacing some of the sales copy with actually a live person on a video, someone that they could connect with and relate to, and a nice person talking to them, right? Something like that. We got the ratio back up again. So the video bought us their mobile number. Does that make sense? Now the new iteration of that is talking head video we're now replacing with drama. I'll show you the example in a minute. We don't know how it's going to go yet, but it's going to be a fun test, right? Either way, I believe we're going to do better. So anyway, does that make sense? The other part is you've got to have a compelling opt-in offer. Sign up for my newsletter ain't very compelling. Master Oliver?
You might define from that previous slide the difference between like the main school page and a landing page.
Yeah.
By pay-per-click, you would have taken them directly to the kids section.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to that main page.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've got the examples of those. So I'm gonna show all three of them. Exactly. So you have to have a compelling opt-in offer. People aren't going to give you their name, email, and mobile number just because you're a nice person, right? You've got to give them a reason to do it. Free bribes are usually the best, right? Something free, you know, some whatever. The more free stuff, typically, the more opt-ins you'll get, right? So you've got to think about that, and you want it to be related to, well, whatever. You want it to be related to what you're doing, right? So, I mean, you know, selling them, you know, a free iPod if they opt in doesn't kind of make really sense. I mean, you know, why would they, you know? But if it's a women's kickboxing thing and I'm going to give them the free report and CD and DVD and video on how to lose 10 pounds in 10 days without changing your diet, working out, or exercising, I mean, I don't know, but you know, whatever. But what was it? I'll show you. Okay, so does that make sense? So I see an awful lot of people who are developing sites right now. The opt-in offer is sign up for our newsletter. Well, sign up for the newsletter. Well, what's the newsletter? Why do I want your newsletter? WIIFM. What's in it for me? Right? Well, why do I want the newsletter, right? Or sign up for a free trial. Now, that's an interesting dynamic. Let's talk about that for a minute. they're on the landing page, right? They're kind of just discovering about you. Signing up for a free trial is a pretty big leap for them to take, isn't it? Right? I mean, that's like they're saying, yeah, I want to come and do it. That's a pretty big step for you to ask them to take. I'd rather ask them to take a smaller step first. Does that make sense? It's like an ascending close, just like you do in the sales process. I don't ask somebody for a, you know, six-year, $13,000 leadership program on the first day. I walk them through some steps first. Okay. Then the other part is, don't get bogged down on this, okay? Don't allow yourself to get too technically focused and like sit behind a computer screen all day and have a bunch of people doing that. But we've found a lot of value in data mining every lead that comes through the funnel. Does that make sense? So somebody gave you their name, email, and mobile number. I think I have a slide for this later, but somebody gave you all that data. Well, we're immediately going to take their email address and we're going to go put it into the search function on Facebook. And we're going to find their Facebook profile. And I'm going to find their address from their Facebook profile. And then I'm going to Zillow their address and find out how much their house is worth and how long they've lived there, right? So, you know, you can data mine. As soon as the guy left, it started beeping. So you can now data mine a little bit about that person, right? Don't get bogged down in it. I'm going to give you some solutions tomorrow where you can do that for almost free, right? But you see the value in it, though, right? If you generate 50 leads this month, to have somebody Google them, Google their name, Facebook their email, Google their phone number, to do that in just a couple of minutes, you can really find some intelligence. You know, and we had a discussion over dinner the other night, and you know the streets in your town that you just crumple it up and throw in the trash, right? White Street, no. Jackson, no. Asbury, okay, I'll keep that one, right? You know, so at some stage, when we're talking about all the offline stuff that we're doing, at some stage, the problem you need to solve is you've got 1,000 leads sitting on your desk. How do I prioritize them, right? That extra few seconds is really worth some weight, its weight in gold. The last part is relevant free stuff is really useful in these types of things. I think I said that already, but in the bribe offer to get them to opt in, you know, stay relevant. They came to your site for a reason. What I want to kind of try to bribe them with, I'm hoping I'm hitting that reason. Does that make sense? So I'll show you an example. Okay, so here's what one of our squeeze pages look like. Okay, so again, if you go back to this chart just as a sample, the home page sorted them out, and then I'm just going to route them to the correct squeeze page, right? And let me load the live page here so you can see what it is. And the Zoom is really messed up on this, so I apologize for that. So here's the kids page, and let me play the thing for you. It should look more like that. Okay, so now the bribe is they get all the free stuff, right? So they get 2 free CDs, a free book on how to develop unstoppable self-confidence, and this thing over here. They fill it in, they move on to the sales page. Does that make sense? Now, if I'm a man and I go to the men's page, I get a bit of a different presentation, right? Zoom is real messed up on the side. It's in Illinois. You get the idea, right? So, and their bribe offer is a little bit different. It's the four simple fat shredding tips, you know, whatever. Fill in the thing, go to the sales page.
Four simple what?
Fat shredding tips to lose whatever it is. I can't remember. you get the idea, right?
Shedding.
Yeah, fat shredding tips to, I don't know, do something or another. Okay. Does that all make sense? So you're taking them from the sorting page over to a landing page that speaks directly to them and what they're kind of looking for, right? The bribe that you're bribing them with once they get there is relatively targeted to what they're trying to accomplish. Following me on all that? And every step along the way, you know, we want them to call the 800 number. We want them to call in. But the opt-in is a good alternative. And again, on that, we're collecting first name, last name, email, mobile, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's a page name?
This one? Oh, this is it's a test site. It's milehighkarate.com/orange-city-fl. And I'll show you. I agree. Here. It's a beta site. It's not a you know an actual. You can go hack around on it. You can't screw anything up, so it's fine. But you get the idea, right? It's milehighkarate.com, and it's Orange City, Florida, but it's separated by dashes. Orange-city-fl. Does that make sense? I guess you can't see that, can you? That's small. Okay, so is everybody following me on logic and strategy on this so far? Make sense? Yeah?
Yep.
No, like, glossy puzzled looks?
What do you give them, like, you give them CDs and stuff, obviously, that you guys have created. Like, what kind of content is in there?
I'll show you in a minute. That's a good question. I'll show you in a second. Okay, but strategically, does all that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that was the men's version. Okay, so now we've, again, if you look at the sheet,
I keep on stealing this.
I've taken them through the funnel, through the sorting page, to the squeeze page. Now I've squeezed them, and hopefully they've either called me or they've opted in. Now they move down to the sales page. And the objectives of the sales page, again, is we want to speak directly to that customer, right? We have to speak in their language. Also, if you notice, by the way, did you see the color palette and things like that on the different sites? The men's was a little grittier. The kids was a little, like, romper room-ish. Yeah, you know. You know what I'm saying? So the color palettes are a little different. It's just tweaking those little dials as much as we can. You know, unfortunately, the challenge with these things is the amount that you can tweak is infinite, right? So at some stage, we just launch and test it and see what the numbers look like, right? Anyway, so we want to speak directly to the market. We're using good sales copy principles. WIIFM. What's in it for me? What's, you know, again, we described it, I think, maybe 100 times already, but it's not your resume and, you know, how great your students are, any of that stuff. It's what's in it for me, mom of an 8-year-old, mom of a 9-year-old, or 35-year-old professional surgeon who wants to get in shape, or, right, what's in it for me, what are their wants, needs, pains, and desires, and, you know, benefits, not features, right? So just good sales copy principles. Yeah, go ahead, if you want to jot that down. Just good sales copy principles, very, very, very simple, right? And lots of testimonials. There are only 5 reasons people won't buy. And the third reason is that, yeah, your thing might work, and yeah, your thing might have worked for a bunch of other people, but you don't know my son, right? They believe it works for everybody else but them. They think they're an island unto themselves. It's a natural part of human behavior. It's part of the 5 psychological drivers, right? Natural part of human behavior. It's not any more or less than that. But you've got to answer that question for them, right? And then the last thing is you have to drive to a clear action with lots of reasons to take advantage right now today. Don't click off the page. Don't go visit Facebook first. Don't go talk to your friends first. Call me. You know what I'm saying? Really simple. So what does that look like? Well, here's an example. I'll take you to the live site in a second. But partial answer to your question is I promise to give them a video and an audio on the squeeze page.
Okay.
They get 2 books, a video and an audio. Well, here's the first video.
Oh, can you take that back just for a second?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do that. I'm sorry. I'm not sure on which side of the gray line I'm on right now. I know this is all not very techy yet, but is this useful at all?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes? Okay. Good. Okay. And there's probably, like in this room, there are like at least five really good sales copywriters, right? I mean, Eric is really good. His stuff is really good. Steven obviously is pretty good. Penny's stuff is pretty good. Sean, I haven't seen your stuff in a while. I have to look at your stuff. Your women's stuff was pretty good. Your kickboxing one was pretty good. So, you know, so anyway, there are a lot of people that you can talk to about, you know, what does a sales copy look like and all that stuff. Are you good with this now? Okay, thanks. Please, thanks for stopping me. So here, again, on the squeeze offer, my bribes were that I was going to give them a free video and a free audio. Here's the video. It's our 17-minute infomercial. Right? Why does an infomercial work on television? Same reasons it's going
to
work here.
The late 50s, when Americans were first introduced to the mystical Asian art form known as the martial arts. It was before television, before the internet. And with the military, most had never heard of martial arts. But once we did, we were captivated.
That's all you got. But anyway, so it's our infomercial, and really it's a bit of an intro here, and then testimonial after testimonial after testimonial after testimonial about why they thought it was too expensive, but they're so glad they did it. And they couldn't believe, you know, they didn't know how they were going to make the commitment, but they did it, and they're glad they did. And the kid was so clumsy, they couldn't believe he did it, but he did, right? Let's give it a second.
I develop myself physically and mentally based on Mile High Karate spirit. I will only fight to protect my life and the lives of others. I achieve my full potential in developing knowledge, honesty, and strength.
My kids are learning how to set goals.
They're all instructors are homegrown, so you know, we practice what we preach.
Yeah, internet connection. But you get the idea, right? So it's basically just an infomercial. And sales copy wise, I mean, everything on the right side is a different testimonial, and there's, I don't know, maybe five and a lot of them. And it's basically just this letter, frankly, is just a Hafner letter, but it's just basically long form sales copy letter that walks them through why they should be thinking about this for whichever problem it is that they're trying to solve, right? What the benefits of the program are, how they should be thinking about it, right? And at each stage, let me go this way so I don't lose my thing. At about every page turn, you know, like if you're in a newspaper and you're turning pages over, a website is about every scroll, right? So about every time you scroll, you're going to have either a button to go set your time up for your free trial, or you're going to see what the offer is here, you know, benefit, greater academic achievement, increased strength, but you know, you get the idea, right? Is all this making sense? Right? And then obviously what we're driving them to is just the form to fill out. I'm not sure if the internet's fast enough here, but the form to fill out to go ahead and get started with their free trial, right? And they select their time, closest location, which session do they want to go to. And frankly, this is completely unsophisticated, by the way. These sessions are just hard-coded in there, and they pick one. We're going to call them back anyway and reschedule them if they, you know what I mean? We're not going to just hope they show up. We're going to follow up anyway. So this is just so that they have some psychological connection that I'm coming in 7 o'clock on Thursday. Does that make sense? So that's it. I mean, that's basically the concept on that. And then, you know, obviously, you know, all the components of the offer, for us, it's, what, a $289.97 value. You know, bonus one, bonus two, bonus three, bonus one, bonus five, risk-free, you know, personal guarantee. You get the idea, right? So just fundamental good sales copy principles. You know, there's some built-in urgency, too. We have little pieces of code in here that say, you know, if you enroll today, Thursday, August 16th, and that'll always be today's date, right? You can set that up to be whatever you want, the next couple days or whatever. Of course. But you get the idea, right? And again, you know, my primary component is to get them to call us. Almost every point that I make an offer, I want to have a little phone opportunity too. Risk reversal, and then down here, if they're still not convinced yet, we've got another 40, 55 minutes of testimonials, one after another.
All the little red things where it says click here to register. What if we added call this number today? Look quick here.
It should be below every button. I don't know why it's not there. Must have did an update on the page or something when I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, I want the phone number there every time. I totally agree. We must have lost the internet connection, but it's 55 minutes of testimony. There's one after another, right? And they're orchestrated in such a manner that I want to answer the questions that I know are the most common objections almost in order as many times as I can. Does that make sense? Yeah, we were going to do a webinar tomorrow night. We ain't going to do a webinar tomorrow night. But you get the concept, right? So let's half a pause there for a second. Any questions or comments on this part so far? Yeah, Mago. Yeah, we have a little package. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's like a threefold DVD CD package. It's got a two CDs and a DVD in it. We can get into the mail for like $3, $2.80, something like that. And it has the book in it, the book inside there. The other stuff. Okay, this is like marketing principle 101. But we send them everything by every media we have at our disposal, right? So we're going to email autoresponder them the book as an attachment, and the audio as a download, and the video as a page they go watch the video, right? But then we're also going to mail it to them, and then we're going to text message them a link to the video that they can watch on YouTube. And you know what I'm saying? That's basically what it is.
Don't want to get ahead of you if you're talking about this tomorrow, but what company do you send that out?
Send what out?
DVD, CD. You guys
don't there's 100 places.
Which ones do you guys
We use like McManus Duplication and Fulfillment. But there's disk.com. I mean, there's 100 places that'll do that for you. You just literally email them a spreadsheet, and they fulfill it, right? And literally, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think to fulfill our big lead package, which is like an $8 package for NAPMA, I think they charge us 26 cents to put a stamp on it and stick it in the mail. 26 cents to do all that work. I never have to touch it. You know? So, infinitely easy. Okay. Any other thoughts on this?
Just to go back just for a second, because I can't type as fast as you talk. I'm trying really, really hard.
I can't type at all.
But the web page that you gave, that was your test site. I didn't get it down.
It's milehikerati.com.
Got that.
And the location is Orange City, Florida.
Okay.
Just separate it with dashes. Orange dash city dash FL. Yeah, dash. Yeah, dash.
Because I put it on and I tried to go on.
Dash.
Florida spelled out?
FL.
Just FL. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll send everybody all these links anyway, and I'm going to send you a whole bonus resource when you guys get back to your school on probably Tuesday.
Excuse
Depends
me,
on if I get any sleep.
The book, because I have a lot of books already that I've been there for people to get that, like in the Create Space. Do you have the format for that, or?
If it's in a PDF, it's probably already in the right format. As long as you've embedded if you've embedded the fonts and the graphics, CreateSpace can take it as a PDF.
Yeah, because I try to post it and send it to Dog B, that kind of stuff.
You can send it to my guy if you want, and I'll have him look at it for you.
All right.
And see what it'll take to fix it.
Okay.
But what he's talking about is an online publishing platform. We're going to talk about this tomorrow, so I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but the days of publishing have changed so dramatically in the last 3 years, right? You can write a book today and have it up on Amazon tomorrow and have hard copies the next day, right? So the whole world is different, and we're gonna walk through some of that tomorrow. Tonight, when we talk about books, okay? So don't let me forget. Any last thoughts on this, questions, ideas? Anything not clear? Yeah.
And your book is something that you guys wrote? Or is it just a generic book? Like,
okay, there's two on the offer. It really doesn't matter, right? I mean, right? Doesn't really matter. Whatever you got, right? Doesn't matter.
Just the same thing. Where do I come up with this?
Just go. Take all the testimonials that you caught on video, have it transcribed, and that's your book.
Yeah, just fill out the form.
Yeah, it ain't nothing. Yeah, just go. Well, careful with copyrights, right? But yeah, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't. But what this one, this particular one is? Yeah, it's just a little PDF we wrote up. Maybe it's 2,000 words or something like that. And if you record yourself on audio for 5 minutes, that's about 200 words, 180 words, something like that. So if you did a 20-minute recording and sent it off to be transcribed, you got your book, right? Nothing to it. Okay. Any last thoughts on this? Okay. Next step. Okay. The next step is this. There is a piece of functionality that I'm extremely assertive that you need to have as part of your web presence is you do need to have some kind of blog functionality, and mostly for two reasons. Again, everything that I want to design, everything I want to look at online is designed for humans first, right? It's designed to close the sale, attract the lead, convert the lead, right? But at the same time, I'm always thinking about how Google is working, and I want to make sure that I develop it in such a manner that Google likes it, right? I don't want to. I used to do a lot of black hat stuff, and you know, still do a little bit of it, but you know, keyword stuffing and all sorts of things that Google didn't like to get high placement. But you've got to monitor that so closely and everything nowadays. It's just best to do everything white hat, but don't put Google before the customer. Does that make sense? If you remember anything strategically, when you're working with your developer, you're working with your designer, whatever the case is, they're going to be talking about some things that have to do with Google that you're just going to say, okay, stop right there. Here's how it needs to convert the lead first. You figure out all the other stuff from there, right? As long as it meets these criteria, we're okay. Does that make sense? So the blog functionality, number one, has to be designed to convert leads, right? So when I put up a new blog post, it's going to be about how do I get that lead further down the pipeline. If they've come in for a first appointment and haven't come in for a second appointment, what can I send them? Where can I send them on the blog that gets them to come in for the second appointment? Does that make sense? Or if I've talked to them on the telephone and for some reason I couldn't get them to come in, set their first appointment up, what can I send them on the blog to get them to set up their first appointment? Does that make sense? So it's all about that conversion number. It's about attracting and converting the lead first. All the other stuff, be damned if you have to, but at best is secondary. Does that make sense? So then, obviously, each piece is designed for them to take a direct action. And I want to have varied offers, too. I like to have my best guess at what they want, and then I tick down the list, right? So if I've hit them over the head with an anti-bullying message three or four times in a row and they have not responded yet, I'm going to add a different message next, right? Maybe my next message is about better grades. Maybe my next message is about relating to their siblings better. Maybe my next, right? So I want to. Dan Kennedy teaches it this way, and I'm sure he stole it somewhere, but I think it's pretty apropos. But the marketing pyramid is really just this: it's the right message to the right market using the right media. And if you take anything away from what we're describing on the internet for today, internet is nothing other than another medium, right? It's not any different than newspaper. It's not any different than, I mean, strategically, right? It's just another media. There's nothing new about it. And it's always kind of entertaining. I always think behind the scenes, it's always entertaining when, you know, the next cool new Facebook thing happens or whatever the case is, where, you know, people are so enamored at this new thing. Well, it isn't any different than Valpak was, or it isn't any, you know, same concept, but they've translated it online. And then last, that blog functionality gives you the opportunity to have new keyword-dense content regularly. Does that make sense? So Google likes websites that are not static. It likes websites that are vibrant. So the more frequently you have new content on the site, the more it kind of likes you, right? Now again, I'm designing for humans first, Google second, but I'm considered a Google, right? They're the 800-pound gorilla, so I want to do what they like. And it just so happens in this case, it does both for us. So here's an example of the blogging functionality. It's very simple. It's built into WordPress and Joomla and just about every other content management system now. But always on my blogs, I have my driving traffic over to my sorting pages again, right? So I'm not taking them somewhere separate. And then this particular video, in fact, just happens to be another testimonial, by the way. News, this one. Doesn't matter, but they're all the same. And again, this Zoom is really wacky. And there's enough people on the internet that are probably on the internet connection that it probably won't play very well. But again, this is just well, let's try it. 55 minutes and 40 seconds more testimonials, okay? So you get the idea. And then just a little bit of copy and driving them back to that offer again, right? So you can't forget that part. You know, if you're going to drive them back to your site from any means, online or offline, don't expect them to have to click around to find what you want them to do. You got to show them what you want them to do, right? So I'm driving them directly to that same free offer again. And obviously, this would be a kid's offer, right? because I'm giving them, you know, the karate uniform and the student parent conference and all that, right? So that would be a kid's offer. I would take them there. I'd take the parents there. Does that make sense? Any thoughts on that? Or
I'm standing right in your way, aren't I? I'm an old guy. Okay, so but I don't know if I understand.
Be careful how you use that terminology.
And I'm not in the same company in this room, I'm sure. But the no, but
all everyone is seeing flashing in the inside of their eyelids are 4 million. 4 million. 4 million.
But I don't understand a blog. How do they get to that? How does your customer get to that blog? Or what would entice them to go and see that?
It's a good question. And really, it's actually a much better question than it even sounds like on the surface. Because to be honest with you, on the homepage, I vacillate about whether I even want the link there. I'd rather not even have it there, to tell you the truth. Unfortunately, Google wants it to crawl, right? So I really don't want them to visit there at all from the homepage. I want them to go through my funnel, right? But now that they've opted in, maybe I haven't got them on the telephone yet, my first autoresponder is, hey, by the way, not sure if you saw this page, and I'm going to drive them over these testimonials. And then 3 days later, I'm going to send them another email or a text message and say, hey, I'm not sure if you saw this one, and I'm going to send them over to another blog page with other do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So all those are basically just sales letters, but they all look different, you know? And they go, oh, this is a new thing, and it's like, you know, same thing, but you see what I'm saying? Okay. So we're going to drive traffic there either from online sources like Facebook or whatever, or offline, you know, email, text message, you know, whatever, direct mail. But mostly, I really don't want them ever to go there until they're already in the funnel. I want them to go through the funnel first.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So then there...
It's a really good question.
So what you're really wanting to do then is you're saying, okay, it's another landing page for them to be able to get to opt in for the information and to make a sale.
Yeah, and in most cases, they've already opted in.
Okay.
So they've already gone through the first step on the squeeze page. And maybe for some reason they didn't buy. Or they didn't set up the appointment. Now I've got their email and their mobile number. So now where I'm going to drive them is back to my blog, different blog pages that are designed to make the sale. Designed to drive them back through the second step of the funnel, right?
And your blog pages, they reside on your website?
Yeah, it's all part of the framework. It's all built into almost all the CMSs, which content management systems, WordPress, Joomla, all that stuff. It's kind of part of the deal. It's part of it. So it's really easy to set up. It's based, you know what? Here's what it is. The only thing a blog page is another web page that's easy to set up. And then it stacks them in order by date. That's all it is. Okay. It's just a web page that you can go in, just like Microsoft Word, and type stuff, put videos, put audio, you know, and hit publish, and it's up there.
Okay, thank you.
So it's designed for people that, you know, it's designed to help people put pages online that didn't know how to code. I mean, that's what it was for.
We use WordPress.
It's built in. Yeah. It's built in.
Yeah. To change our dates and upcoming events and whatnot.
Yeah, same thing. Penny?
Yeah, just a question. Like, with WordPress, with the plugins like SEO Press and stuff, knowing you use that kind of stuff, then the reading is not necessarily as clean because it's meaning. But you're saying the difference between writing for people and writing for Google, and it's not always the same thing. So what are you guys doing to kind of smooth that out?
Which part?
Well, I mean, if you write with the keyword density and that kind of thing, it can sound, doesn't necessarily sound as clean as if you're just writing for people.
No, we write for people. And then you go back and you say, okay, well, now I know people are certain. Did everybody hear the question, by the way? Okay. This is not a bad tangent.
They can hear her, they can't hear you.
Yeah, can you hear? It's not a bad tangent, but the question is, the primary component of search engine optimization, you can argue whether it's primary or secondary, but is keyword density. How many times do the words you want people to be able to find you with, how many times does it say that on your website? Basically, right? So the blogging functionality basically helps you put those words on your website more frequently, right? The problem is, you know, we write for human beings, and then we go back and say, well, I use the word karate here twice. I know people search martial arts more than that, so I'm going to change one of them to martial arts. And then I put the city name in once. Where could I, instead of using the city name once, where could I put parents all over Volusia County, comma, Orange City, and Deltona, and DeLand, and DeBerry are loving it, you know? So we go back and kind of keyword load it ethically, right? Like Google doesn't like keyword stuffing, where you go back in and just put karate, 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 karate lessons, karate classes, karate, because it doesn't make sense, right? So we go back into the paragraph structure and write it for both. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and maybe say a different iteration of that as well is why you have a bunch of different pages,
yeah.
Right? Is you can have separate URLs, completely separate buried pages that really aren't designed for anybody to see unless they stumble on it through Google. And then they can be either redirects or they can be big box in the middle push here to take them over to the other site. So when I talk about like 350 foreign sites, it's all just to take them to one, right? And a lot of them, it'll be all you see above the fold is a button, go over here, and then all of the other search engine materials are down there. So if you see somebody's site where, like at the bottom, they'll list like all the cities in the area and all the, I mean, that's just for the search engines. Or you'll see like a little link that says sitemap, and then behind it, it has all kinds of pages and stuff they don't really want you to see because even the sitemap thing is like in one-point font. Well, the reason they're putting it in one-point font or the reason they're putting the font in the same color as the background or the reason, like some of our sites, you'll see the page they're supposed to see.
Oh, yeah.
Then it'll be black for like what would be the equivalent of five pages. Then there's a bunch of stuff down there. And we don't ever expect anybody but Google to get there. But all that stuff down there is for the search engine. This stuff up here is for the human being. And it's more important for you to always write the important page, the landing page, for the human being, search engine to be damned. But then create other pages that are going to be attracted to the search engines that then link back over.
Yeah. And any other thoughts on that part? Or?
I mean, I know with CRM how you just change someone's status to get them on and off sequences. But how do you get a new member off this blog? Receiving blogs, because you obviously don't want a new member to be receiving this information for the next 12 months. They're subscribed.
Yeah, you can just take them out of that sequence.
So we would manually have to go back in.
When you, the way we have the system set up, when you enroll somebody,
yeah,
it automatically takes them out of those sequences.
Okay.
You can do that by action sequence. A little more difficult than like AWeber and stuff like that, but yeah, it's
so that's why WordPress?
No, that's in Infusion.
Oh, yeah, I know how to do that, but that's not linked to this blog, though, is it?
It is. But inside of Infusion, you're taking them out of that sequence, therefore yes, they're not getting the emails exactly to go back here yet.
And if, I don't know why you have trouble implementing some of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I know probably half of you are getting it and half of you are going, now how is he going to do that? It makes sense, but the question is, how do you get it all up there like that?
Yeah.
That's why you got him.
Yeah.
I've
got one more item if that's right.
No, go ahead.
Any other?
I was going to clarify, you have to have all this stuff. If you're going to do martial arts in this century, nowadays, if you don't have this, you're losing a big portion. Because everything we do in marketing is, it's not, there's no one thing that you can do. Before, we could do one thing, and it would be a home run. And we would ride that wave until 2 or 3 years, and then we'd ride another wave. It was like the endless summer, but it's not like that anymore. Now you've got to hit a lot of different things, and what you'll find is when you hit a lot of them, each one out of them will be a home run, and the others will get you a couple here and a couple there. And then it gives you enough that you need. And this is your one thing that you can do that doesn't require you to go out of the school and beat the bushes and do all that labor-intensive marketing that we have to do now.
Well, and people from that type of activity are now at 2 o'clock in the morning going through the fun,
yeah,
you know, without you having to be, you know, me. Okay.
The other thing, maybe a different way to frame it for yourself, is think about, you have a squeeze page, right? So you have a little video, and you ask them to give you information. Then you take them to another page. But what's happening is you're constantly layering more and more and more information. So in the terminology I was using before, you're kind of going from short form to long form. Because some people, it takes a 5-minute video and they're sold they're going to come see you. Other people, it takes you drift on them with the equivalent of like 2 full books, right? And what you don't want to do, and we'll talk about this in terms of direct mail in a minute, you don't ever want to assume that because some portion of them are okay with a postcard level of content, that you're going to get the primary number of sales with only that. So you're just expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. Mostly proof, so mostly testimonials and videos of success stories and that type of stuff. But you're expanding more and more information until they do what? Come to the school, I mean, really, all this is to do is get them to walk in the front door, hopefully while you have the doors open, unlocked, and are expecting them. But to get them to come to a school, that's all you're trying to do. You're not going to sell them, I mean, most of us aren't going to sell them a DVD of the Month Club to learn martial arts, or a password that just takes them behind the scenes for them to do stuff. What we want them to be doing is getting all of the information so that ultimately you get them into the school. Go ahead.
And maybe, Master Albert, I know you're using...
You need that for the video.
You use certain words. Are you off? You know, squeeze, and maybe you need to explain all these.
We went through that while you guys were out of
there.
Yeah, make sure that everybody understands those words, you know, it's, so you're not literally...
We spent about 40 minutes on it. Any last questions or thoughts on that? Okay, last thing I wanted to do before we have to transition again, let me reiterate what we talked about at the beginning. There's no guesswork. How much guesswork is there? None, right? Now, there are a bunch of different analytics services. You can, you know, argue pros and cons of using Google or not. I'm fine with it. But Google Analytics, there's just a little snippet of code that your web guy puts on all the pages or in the footer on your theme, and it puts it all on all your pages automatically. And they'll tell you everything that's happening, okay? What you want to have happen, you want your Google visitor flow to look like this, right? Traffic comes into homepage, lands into a couple of different buckets, and then moves on through the sales funnel, right? What you don't want is, you know, the traffic to go to the homepage and then diffuse off into 30 different places. Does that, you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, it's not, there isn't 500 different choices for them on that landing page. They have very narrow parameters, right? And here's just an example on one of my other clients' test site. This is what the flow visualizer looks like. But if you just go to your Google Analytics reports, under audience, under visitor flow, it shows you exactly what traffic is doing. Does this make sense? So it's showing you, well, we had 57 unique visitors, 40 of them went to this page, this number of them, when you click on that number, they went to these pages. From here, they went to these pages. From these pages, they went to these pages. Does that make sense? So you don't have to be a tech guy or a coder or a high-level marketing strategist or any of that to look at this report and say, man, I had 400 visitors last month and only X number went to here. Man, here's where we have to focus. Does that make sense? This isn't any different than how you make management and marketing decisions in the school, is it? We know that our introductory to enrollment rate is X. Holy shit, we got to fix that. Or, hey, we're doing pretty good there, and let's not worry about that for a while. Let's just get more traffic. Does that make sense? There is no difference. None at all. This is all exactly the same stuff.
So where do you get that vision flow from?
This is Google Analytics. So just write down Google Analytics. It's free. You tell your web guy, hey, listen, make sure I've got Google Analytics on my site, and that's it.
By the way, I one time spent probably $5,000 in software to do stuff that Google gives you for free now.
Oh, it's
I mean, it's just phenomenal.
And let me answer your question, too, since we have like 2 minutes. There are two sources of getting keyword data.
Two minutes? You're 7 minutes over.
I thought I started at 20. Okay. There are basically two fundamental primary sources for what are people out there searching for. Okay, would that be useful for everybody? To find out what people are searching? Okay. So one is this. It's just the Google keyword tool. So just type in keyword tool into Google, and it'll say keyword tool. Oh, that's not it. Okay. And this is basically just for anybody. You don't have to be buying pay-per-click for this. Anybody can use this for free. So you basically just type in here, let's say, martial arts lessons. And I don't know how to type, so please tell me if I type something wrong. Karate classes. And then, let's see. I don't know, some kind of a CAPTCHA. What is that?
Z-L-I-D-E-R.
Jiminy Christmas. Okay, and then you hit search. And it'll basically just tell you how many global or local monthly searches there are for those particular keyword terms. Now, I deliberately didn't put in a geographic sort, right? If you were to put in there, like, Dubuque, it'd be zero, right? But now, it doesn't mean that no one's searching for it. But this particular report doesn't really start to tick up until you get into the thousands, right? So this is source number one, Google Keyword Tool, okay? The second source is you go buy pay-per-click. You spend $1 on pay-per-click, you buy one click, and you get the entire stream of data for that day. on every keyword that you have in your campaign. Does that make sense? So this is for anybody who isn't currently buying pay-per-click just yet, and they just want to see
that category, keyword ideas.
Yeah.
He only typed martial arts lessons, karate classes, and see what it spit out? It spit out a
training,
whole bunch of different iterations. It's not an exhaustive
schools.
List, but it spit out a whole bunch of different iterations. Now, the key is, if you're buying pay-per-click or doing search engine optimization, is to be optimized on hundreds of combinations. You don't buy one or two keywords. You buy hundreds of keywords, right? And you work on excluding things like the UFC fans. But you really work on hundreds of combinations, because that's how you're going to scoop up the most traffic.
So number one is just a Google keyword tool. You can just kind of hack around a little bit and see what people are searching for, what they aren't, what's more and less, but in broad strokes. Then you go and set up a pay-per-click account and literally give them $1 and buy one click, and you get the entire stream of data for that day of exactly how many people typed in, exactly what words, in exactly what order, at exactly what time, and exactly what city. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As long as you give them $1, as long as you pay them, right? They'll tell you exactly what happened. This is like a rough estimate based on some algorithms and some stuff like that. And by the way, a couple of key things on this, just in 8 seconds, is there are some columns that you can add to this. Well, my Zoom is so far off, I can't even tell. There should be more over to the right. I can't seem to scroll there for some reason. Well, whatever. But yeah. there's it's weird. I can't go to the right for some reason. It's not super.
Because it's not an Apple.
Oh. Well, that would just do it all for me. So. But there's a little thing on there that tells you what the estimated cost per click would be. So right now, people who are buying that keyword are paying $2.96 per click, right? So that'll give you some sense of how much relative competition there is, what the bidding war is like, and that sort of thing. And always you can find like words that are related that are like 4 cents or 5 cents or 7 cents, you know? So, good.
But don't skip over that. So if I'm paying $3 a click,
where is?
Work through your mind how the metrics look on that. I'm paying $3 a click. Now let's see that we get the conversion to 30%. So I'm assuming that we're going to get 30% of the people who click are going to give me an opt-in. And then let me assume that I can get 30% of the people who give me an opt-in to make an appointment. Right? So if I can get 30%, 30%, $3 for a click is $9 or $10 for a lead. Everybody good with that so far? And then I'm at $30 for an appointment. So if I can be at $10 a lead, $30 for an appointment, how often would I do that?
Every day.
All day, every day, right? Because assuming I'm going to convert at least half of the appointments to an enrollment, now I'm only paying $60 for an enrollment. In reality, those numbers are probably way too generous. But how much would you be willing to pay for an enrollment depends upon the value number, right? If an enrollment is worth $5,000 to the school, paying $500 for an enrollment would be no big deal. Paying $1,000 would be acceptable. If an enrollment's worth $900, I can't pay $500 to get an enrollment. How the heck am I going to pay the staff, the light bill, the rent, everything else, right? So it's extremely important to get that student value as high as you can and then know the numbers down to a T. Because, again, if the value is high and the conversion rates are high enough, then you can spend an unlimited amount, frankly. If I could get enrollments for $60 a piece that are going to pay me $400 down, I would do that with an unlimited budget. And the only problem will be is there's not enough inventory of clicks.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Right? So I would do that with an unlimited budget. So you've got to know those numbers down scientifically. Does that make sense? Okay. Questions on what Toby's covered so far?
Just one really quick one, Toby. Is there any particular day of the week that gives you a better idea of the traffic?
Monday through Thursday. You know.
Yeah, probably Tuesday through Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the weekends are definitely unrepresentative, you know. What was it? His question was, is there any, like, one day of the week, if he wants to go give Google, like, a couple bucks and see exactly what all the search traffic was, what day of the week would be best to do it? And it'd be probably any time between Tuesday and Thursday. The weekends aren't.
The day after the martial arts movie
gets Yeah, although there are a lot of strategies when those martial arts movies do come out on going and buying a bunch of keywords that are related and driving into a site that tells them that message, right? Like a blog page or something, you know?
Yeah, but the other thing, the same question holds true for direct mail, email, et cetera. You know, when's the best time for them to get an email? Tuesday morning at 10, okay, or 11. When's the best time for them to get a piece of direct mail? Tuesday, followed by Wednesday call.